Okay, so we are holding on Sadiq Dawood Ahmed Bey, the third line of the middle size lines. We left off that Rav Shake, in his speech where he's trying to convince the Jewish people to surrender and speaking in Sancheiriv's name, he says, "What you think that you think Hashem is going to save you?" Hashem himself said that Sancheiriv is going to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and we brought Psukim to that effect. We brought Psukim from Nevuas of Yeshaya that indeed the king of Asher is going to invade Eretz Yisrael. So the question then becomes: the Gemara says, "Elamai time at Yinish." Well, then why, in fact, was Sancheiriv punished? Now, the question is not so much why he personally was punished. He himself said chutzpahdik a thing against Hashem, etc., comparing him to gods of other nations or whatever. The question is more why did his whole army have to be wiped out? Tzadik Dalet Amud Bey is about the middle of the Amud. And after all, I mean, yeah, we're talking about Sancheiriv and Chizkiyahu. Okay, and after all, I mean, we know that the Rambam discusses the question, for example, why is it, if the Eibishter predicted that the Jewish people are going to be in Golos, Vavodim Ve'inu Oysam, so why are Pare and the Mitzrayim punished? And the Rambam says, because Hashem didn't specifically say it has to be this particular nation or these particular people, they did it on their own. And the Ravid disagrees and says because they went much beyond what they were supposed to, etc. So in our Gemara, the Eibishter specifically says the king of Asher is going to come and invade, so what's the problem?
It was authorized.
It was authorized, in other words, yeah. But even so, on the face of it, he was told that he'll invade Yehuda. But the answer is, in a way, yes, that he went too far. Navi aaseres hashvatim is Nabi. The Navi was saying Nevuah that Sancheiriv is going to conquer and destroy the kingdom of the aaseres hashvatim. Ihu, but he, Sancheiriv, Yohiv Daitel, called the Yerushalayim. He thought to conquer the entire Yerushalayim and destroy the Beis Mikdash. That he wasn't authorized to do. He might... Not just the 10 Shvatim, but also that he's going to invade Yehuda, fine. The Pasuk says that he's going to invade Yehuda. But that he thought to go so far as conquering Yerushalayim and destroying the Beis Mikdash, that wasn't part of what he was authorized to do. The Navi had never said that that's going to happen. Therefore, when Sancheiriv is attempting to do that, he's going too far, and therefore he got punished. And in fact, the Pasuk that we quoted...
There's a fine line between invading Yehuda and conquering Yerushalayim.
Right. But he didn't have to. He could have conquered the rest of Yehuda and left Yerushalayim alone. The point is that he's trying to invade Yerushalayim as well and conquer Yerushalayim. So actually, by mentioning the Pasuk had mentioned Ad Savor Yagia, it's going to reach till the neck. One thing is, we find in different places the Beis Hamikdash is called the neck. Like we have Yosef and Binyamin wept on each other, cried on each other's necks. So therefore, Ad Savor will reach until the neck, but Veloy Ad Bechlal, not inclusive.
But he was from
Asher.
He didn't understand.
No, but at least Rav Shakeh should have told him. Whatever. Okay. Fine. Okay. Bon Navi va'amalei. So instead, the Navi comes and explains. You should understand. There's a difference between the 10 Shvatim and Yehuda. Va'amalei. The Navi says as follows: Kilei muaf lashem mutzak la. There is no muaf, which is in the lashon yoif, tired, lashem mutzak la, to the one who is harassing her. What does that mean? The simple meaning is it means like the one who the simple meaning in the Mefarshim say on the Pasuk, it means fakert. It means the one who is harassing never gets tired. He keeps on doing what he's doing. But here the Gemara explains it differently. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Berechia, Ein nimser am oyef batorah biyad mi hametziklo. It means fakert. The nation that tires themselves out, that wears themselves out learning Torah, as the Gemara is going to say now, does not deserve to be handed over to the people, to the nation, the Ashurim, who are harassing her. In other words, the chutz of their learning Torah is protecting them. Right. Therefore, that Sancheiriv attempted to undo that, and therefore, for that, he was punished and his army was killed.
But the Pasuk said that the Navi...
The Navi is saying that Sancheiriv will invade, but that's it. He's entitled to invade. He's entitled maybe to exact tribute or whatever. The Pasuk says that B'cholof B'Yehuda is going to pass through Yehuda. Fine, but he has the right to pass through Yehuda, not necessarily to go and start taking captives and conquering cities and whatever, let alone Yerushalayim. The people who are learning, who are involved in learning Torah. He's coming to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's it. He had conquered the Ten Shvatim. Now he wants to finish up the job. So now what we're saying is the people, the Jewish people who wear themselves out in learning Torah, as we'll say soon, who made a tremendous effort in learning Torah, they don't deserve to be handed over to him. My, what does it mean? Another Pasuk says, the next Pasuk says there in Yeshaya, Ka'es Harishan Hekal. Now, at this time, the first one went easy. Arts of Zvulun va'arts of Naphtali, the land of Zvulun and the land of Naphtali, which is north, va'achron hichved, and the later one is heavier, meaning b'pashtus Yehuda, derech hayam, the way of the sea, Eivar hayarden, glil hagoyim, the district of the goyim. Now, the simple meaning, again, glil hagoyim b'pashtus means the Galil, the north part of Eretz Yisrael. But in Pshat, the Mefarshim on the Pasuk say that it's describing the different stages of the Golos Aseres HaShvatim. Like first it was easier, only Zvulun and Naphtali went into Golos. Afterwards it was Eivor HaYarden, afterwards it was a clean sweep. But the Gemara is darshaning it differently. The Navi is saying in the Eibishter's name, it's not going to be like the first group, meaning the ten Shvatim, who eased off of themselves the yoke of Torah. They didn't bother learning Torah on a constant basis. Therefore, they ended up getting conquered. Rather, though, this later group, meaning Yehuda and Binyamin, the kingdom of Chizkiyahu, who have accepted the heavy burden of the yoke of Torah, they don't deserve to be treated the same way and taken into Golos. As we're going to say soon. Ru'uyin halalu, so what does it mean, the last part, derech hayom eivor hayarden, means ru'uyin halalu lasis lahem neis. They deserve, these people of Yehuda and Binyamin deserve that a nes should happen to them in the second line of the wide line, of the widest line. Ka'ovrei hayam, like those who pass through the yam, or chederchei hayarden, like those who walk through the yarden. In other words, the Eibishter is going to make a tremendous nes for them.
But wait a minute. Isn't there a shutfus between Zvulun and Yisachar?
There was, but unfortunately it broke down in the end. Yisachar wasn't learning Torah and Zvulun wasn't supporting them, and they were among the ten northern Shvatim. They didn't bother learning Torah, Kaseidah. And not necessarily at all, but not as much as they should have. And therefore they were taken into Golos. The Navi is saying, though, that's the Rishonim, that's the Rishon, who went into Golos because they were Hekel, they let the yoke of Torah lie lightly on them, they didn't bother with it, as opposed to the last group, Hichbid, they allowed the heavy yoke of Torah to be on them, therefore they deserve Derech Hayam Eivor HaYarden, they deserve to have Nisim done to them like the people who walked through the Yam Suf and the people who walked through the Yarden. And the pasuk continues, what's glil hagoyim, im choyze b'mutav, so therefore if Sancheiriv realizes this and goes back and does not try to conquer them, mutav, good, then he'll make it through safely, v'im lav, and if not, if he tries anyway, ani esalei glil b'goyim, I will make him a glil among the goyim. What is glil? It actually has two explanations. One is meloshon misgalgal, like a roll around in shame among the nations that he lost his whole army. And the second is glil, is meloshon glalim, like dung, like animal waste. He'll be like that among the goyim. So that's what it means. Glil. That's what the last word glil hagoyim means. That's the point. No, he won't manage to do it. He won't manage to conquer Yerushalayim, and there his whole army will be wiped out, and he will be an object of humiliation in the world.
Happened.
This is what happened. Yeah. Okay. In Divrei Hayamim, the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim tells over the story of Chizkiyahu and Sancheiriv more briefly, not as great length as it does in Melachim and in Yeshaya. It starts out by saying like this. It starts the story, Achrei Hadvarim Va'emes Ha'ela, after these words and this truth, which in the previous Perakim there in Divrei Hayamim, it describes all the tremendous things that Chizkiyahu accomplished. He got the people to do tshuva, get rid of Avodah Zarah, clean up the Beis Hamikdash, make a major Korban Pesach that included as much as possible the Jewish people, arranged that Trumas and Maestros are given properly, and now, after these words and this truth, Bos Sancheiriv Melech Asher, came Sancheiriv the king of Asher, Vayoveh Yehuda, he invaded Yehuda, Vayichan ala Orem Abitzuret, he camped against the fortified cities of Yehuda, Vayomer Levikam Elov, and he wanted to break them open and conquer them. So the question is, what's Acher Advarim Ha'el? That's the question. What do you mean, Achrei Advarim Va'Emes Ha'Ela, Hai Rishnal, Hai Pardashna? What do you mean? Is this the appropriate reward for this noble? The Chizkiyahu did such noble things, and he should get this reward. This is a reward that Sancheiriv invades. So that's the question. Achrei Advarim Va'Emes, Achar Mai. So what does it mean after these words and this truth? What's going on over here? Amar Avina, La'achar Shekafetz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means that after Chizkiyahu did all these things, now, when did Sancheiriv invade? After the Eibishter Kaviyachol jumped up, like the Eibishter went ahead, V'nishva, and he swears, V'omar, and he says like this, I want to have Sancheiriv be destroyed. If I tell Chizkiyahu in advance, my sin alei l'Sancheiriv v'masar alei v'yadcha, if I tell Chizkiyahu in advance, you should know Sancheiriv is going to invade, but he's going to be given over into your hands, he's going to be defeated, hashta amar, then Chizkiyahu is likely to say, lohu be'ina v'lei b'yasuse be'ina. I don't want him, I don't want the fear of him. Fine, he'll be destroyed. We won't have to worry about him anymore. Wonderful, but meanwhile, we're going to have the whole fright of having him invade and all. The Eibishter says, "Miyad kofet haKadosh Baruch Hu v'nishba." So the Eibishter jumped up and swore, "D'may sinalei, I am bringing him." That's Acher Advarim Va'Emes Ha'Ela. In other words, that so that he can be destroyed. So this way, he can be destroyed. And as the Gemara is going to say further, also it means therefore Sancheiriv and not Sancheiriv, Chizkiyahu and his people are therefore going to be able to capture all a tremendous amount of booty from Sancheiriv's army. the Medrash, in fact, in Seder Olam, it tells Chizkiah and his people, yeah. In Seder Olam, it describes in more detail, based on the Psukim, what happened was actually like this. Sancheiriv invades Eretz Yehuda. He starts conquering places. Meaning the south of Eretz Yehuda, the northern part, the 10 Shvatim had already been taken into Gaulus 8 years earlier. So now he comes into Eretz Yehuda, the land of Yehuda and Binyamin. He starts invading. He comes to Yerushalayim. He makes his whole speech. He sends Rav Shekech to make this whole speech. You should surrender. Then what happens is he hears news that Tirhaka Melech Kush, the king of Kush in Ethiopia or whatever, is wants to fight against him. So he abandons the siege of Yerushalayim temporarily. Tirhaka had his own reasons to fight against Sennacherib. Whatever it is. So Sennacherib temporarily abandons the siege of Yerushalayim. He sends messengers to inform Chizkiyahu, don't think I'm leaving you alone. You should know I plan to be back. Don't think you're done with me. I'm going to be back and you better surrender. But meanwhile, I have this Tirhaka Melech Kush to deal with. He goes, he conquers Tirhaka, he conquers the whole Mitzrayim and the whole Kush, takes a tremendous amount of booty from them, comes back to Yerushalayim. Then, on the night of Pesach, his whole army is wiped out. So now, all of a sudden, the Jewish people have this tremendous amount of spoils, including all everything that came from Mitzrayim and from Kush, plus from Chizkiyahu. No, the Malachim wiped him out, as we're going to say later, but the point is, Sancheiriv's army was destroyed. Because they were trying to invade and conquer Yerushalayim and destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So a Nes happened, and they were all wiped out by Malachim, as we'll learn later on. So now, all of a sudden, the Jewish people have this tremendous amount of spoils that otherwise, yeah.
So that was the whole purpose.
That, and also this way, Sancheiriv and his power will be destroyed once and for all. He's claiming that I own the whole world, and nothing can withstand me, even the Eibishter. So we're going to show I'm boss. So therefore, but if I tell Chizkiyahu in advance, he's going to say, I'd rather not deal with the whole thing. Therefore, the Eibishter says, doesn't matter, I'm going to make it happen. That's Achre Advarim Va'emesa'ela. After all these things, all these great things that Chizkiyahu accomplished, the Eibishter decided in that case, this is how I'm going to arrange things.
Yeah, I mean, yep.
That's true, right. They're terrorists of Tzaddikim, yeah,
well,
indeed.
There's
one thing
that still bothers me here. In Yehuda, they were learning Torah.
Yeah.
And this whole thing that the Eibishter wanted to do for sure took them away from learning Torah. So
Not necessarily. Let's continue. Shenema, the pasuk says, Nishva Hashem Tzvakos Leimer, the Eibishter has sworn as follows, Imloy kasha dimisi kein hayasa, what I have planned is exactly what's going to happen, v'chasha ya'asti, and what I've advised is going to be done, hi sokum, this is going to occur, lishver arsh ashur ba'arti, that ashur will be broken in my land, v'al horai, meaning Eretz Yisrael, v'al horai avusenu, and I will trample him on my mountains of Eretz Yisrael, v'sor me'aleim ulay, and then at that point, the yoke of the Ashurim will be removed from the Jewish people, because up until that point, for the last 50 years or so years before that, the Jewish people had been subservient in a greater or lesser way to Asher. Like this, that's all going to be rid of. The Ten Shvatim were completely conquered and exiled by Asher, but even before that, you had, even Chizkiyahu himself at the beginning had to send a huge tribute to Asher. The Gemara mentions in Pesachim that he had to take off the gold from the doors of the Heichal in order to raise enough money for the tribute that he was supposed to send to Sancheiriv. Well, to give him Sheikha that he should go away. In the event, Sancheiriv ended up invading anyway, but the point is that you still have this whole problem. So like this, they'll be rid of him. V'subolei mal shichma yosser, and the weight of him will go off your shoulders. So therefore, that was the Eibishter's plan. And what's the word avusenu? Now, the word avusenu, the simple meaning is I'll trample him. But the Gemara explains, Omer Rabbi Yechon, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means the Eibishter is saying, Yovei Sancheiriv v'sayate, let Sancheiriv and his group, his army, come. And they will become like a trough for Chizkiyahu and his people to be able to enjoy. Rashi explains it means, in other words, like this. You're going to have all these dead people. You're going to have all these dead soldiers outside the walls of Yerushalayim. The Jewish people will be able to take their animals and go pasture among them. It'll be like it'll be almost like a trough that they can eat out of, like they can eat grass that's growing in and around the body. Who was serving Avodah Zarah?
The soldiers.
Maybe they were, but what's that got to do with anything? They're dead now. They're dead. The point is that now, like, you have grass growing among them, and there's nobody to harass the animals. Like this, the animals can go over there and have what to eat, among all, foraging among all the soldiers. Marsha says the vort is a little bit different. All the spoils are going to be like this. The Gemara is going to say now that the people were completely involved in learning Torah. They weren't worried. They weren't concerned much with making parnasa. Like this, all of a sudden they're going to have this tremendous wealth. It's going to be like a huge trough that they can be eating off of for years to come. No, so it should happen this way. There'll be Sancheiriv and his army will be wiped out, and the Jewish people will be able to enjoy the spoils. Yeah. So the pasuk continues, "V'hoya b'yemahu." On that day, Yosu subole ma'al shechmecha. The weight of him will be off your shoulders. V'ulei ma'al tzavarecha. His yoke of sancheiriv will be off your neck. V'chubal oil mipnei shomen. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the oil. So what does that last word mean? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman, chubal oil shel sancheiriv mipnei shamnei shel Chizkiyahu. The yoke of sancheiriv, the yoke that was pressing down on the Jewish people's neck, was destroyed because of the oil of Chizkiyahu. Namely, the oil shel yedolek mivatik nesias mivatim medrashas. Namely, there was oil being used, the light in the shuls and batim medrash, so people can learn Torah. So that oil destroyed the yoke of sancheiriv. And Marsha points out, the Gemara is going to bring from a pasuk in a minute, that the Jewish people didn't worry about their fields and their vineyards and whatever because they were so fakift and learning Torah. The one crop that they were concerned with is the olive, so that they have oil in order to be able to continue learning Torah. Shemen Zayis, yeah, that they can burn to have life in the Batek Nisiyas or Batek Medrashas. Ma'os, so what did Chizkiyahu do to make sure that everybody learns Torah? Not Cherav al Pesach Beis Medrash. He stuck in a sword in by the entrance to the Beis Medrash. Va'omer, and he announced, Kol mi she'eni osek b'Torah, anybody who does not occupy themselves in learning Torah, yidokah b'cherav, will be stabbed with a sword. Chizkiyahu is announcing to the people. Basically, on the simple level, he's saying it's a national emergency. We need to be saved from Sancheirev. The way that's going to happen is through Limud HaTorah. Therefore, anybody who's shirking their duty and not learning Torah is like a traitor. They're like you're not contributing to the effort, and therefore under the emergency circumstances it might be. And Marsha actually goes so far as to say what Chizkiyahu is saying: if you don't learn Torah under these circumstances, you're no better than a goy. A goy, as we learned earlier, the punishment for a goy of not observing the Shemim Zinunayah is Sayef, is being killed by the sword. The same way he's saying, you don't learn Torah under these circumstances, that's how you're going to be treated. Everybody's going to die if you don't. Therefore, every person has a responsibility. Don't shirk it and think somebody else will do it. Shemim Zinunayah needs at least one judge, we learned earlier in the Masechta. Fine, but a king can execute people even without the normal rules of evidence. Technically, they would be chayv misa, yeah. Okay, onward. So this is what Chizkiyahu did. By the way, the Ben Yehoyada points out the danger over here was sancheiriv. If you rearrange the letters of sancheiriv, the last word of it, the last three letters of it are cherev, representing the idea that we have the sword. The sword of sancheiriv is a danger to us if we don't learn Torah. The first two letters can be rearranged to nes. So nes cherev, there'll be a nes if you pay attention to the message of the sword over here in Fatifsech and learning Torah. Bod kumidon vad Beersheva. The result was they were able to check from Don to Beersheva, from one end to the other of Eretz Yisrael. V'loy motzu ama oretz, and they could not find a single ama oretz. They checked more in a more restricted area, Megeves vad Antifras, from Geves until Antifras, which are basically the two ends of Eretz Yehuda, the north and the south ends of Eretz Yehuda. And they found v'loy motzu tinek b'tinokas ish v'isha shalohi b'kin b'chol tumah v'tara. They could not find a single boy or girl or man or woman who were not expert in halachos tumah v'tara. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael as a whole, there were no Amei Aretz at that point. But not necessarily to not be an Amei Aretz and to know Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, there's a big gap between them. So within Eretz Yehuda itself, everybody knew the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, which is the reason why it mentions halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. First of all, they're complicated, but Maharsha says, practically speaking also, people were Eichel Chulin V'Tahara. People would eat their food, even their Chulin food, in a state of Tahara. Therefore, they had to be familiar with all the dinim of Tumah V'Tahara. Val Oisa Durhu Oimer continues the Gemara. It's about that generation that a pasuk in Yeshaya says, "V'hoya bayemahu," it'll be on that day. Yechaya ish egos bakor shtei tzayin v'gomer. A person will keep alive one calf and two sheep. In other words, that was the minimum amount a person needs for milk and wool and whatever. Like a person would keep the bare minimum that they need to be able to live off of, instead of worrying about, I'm gonna have, I need a bigger flock, I need a bigger whatever. A person would have as little as possible so that they can spend as much time as possible learning Torah. And the pasuk continues, it'll be that every place, even if you have a place in Eretz Yisrael which is so fertile that you could grow 1,000 vines there, and it would grow, and those 1,000 vines would be worth 1,000 pieces of silver. In other words, you could become very rich from having such a property and cultivating it. It will be left for the thorns and the thistles. In other words, it'll be left uncultivated. Meaning that the people are going to be so fatifed in learning Torah in Chizkiyahu's time that they're going to let that, I don't care if it's a very expensive piece of property, I could be becoming rich from it. No, even though 1,000 vines are worth 1,000 gold, 1,000 silver coins, I'm willing to live it. I'm willing to leave it to the thorns and the thistles because I'm too busy learning Torah.
But they didn't do it for Ava. They did it with Yira because they were.
It started with Yira, but eventually it made it develop into Ava. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Even Yira is a big thing. Okay. The pasuk continues. Another pasuk in Yeshaya says. Your spoils will be gathered like the spoil of the locust, like the gathering of the locust. Meaning, after Sanhedrin's army is wiped out by the Malachim, so the Navi Yeshaya says to the Jewish people, go ahead, go ahead and gather the spoils. They asked him, how do you mean we should do it? Is it just every person for themselves, every person can grab as much as they want, or does it have to be divided? Does it have to be divided in a certain way? Like the Rambam describes in Hilchos Malachim, the king's treasury gets X amount, and the soldiers get a certain amount, whatever. So what is it? Amalahem, he answers them with the continuation of the pasuk, ka'osef achosel. It'll be like the way locusts gather. Ma'osef achosel kalecha v'achalas. Right? Just like when locusts gather, when locusts eat, it's every one for themselves. Locusts don't share their food. Locusts are grasshoppers. Yeah, I agree. Af shlachem, the same way with the spoils, kalecha v'achalas. Each one is every person for themselves. Lives those, basically, yeah. So Mefarshim explained the Marsha talks about what was the question in the first place. The question was, for one thing, Marsha says, isn't it going to be Bittul Torah? Again, we're so fatifed in learning Torah, won't it be wasting time? And Yeshaya tells them basically this is an exception. This is something that you should be Mevatel Torah for, to go and take spoils from Sanhedrin's army, because that's
the Kiddush Hashem.
Maybe because it's the Kiddush Hashem, or maybe because otherwise what's going to happen with it? It's going to go back to the Goyim, whatever. Yeah.
That's going to make a fight. They didn't grab how much he wants.
Maybe the idea is, once they were busy fatifed all these years in learning Torah, they developed a little midas tovus, and they're not going to just be grabbing and fighting with each other. There's other explanations also, including the idea that if it was that they had actually fought against the army and defeated them, yeah, then there's rules of how the spoils have to be divided. Like this, where it all happened derech nes anyway, then it's every person for themselves. There's no particular rules how it has to be divided. They're on a high level, yeah. Okay, Omrulai, so they asked him, Vale Momin Aseres HaShvatim Urubai, don't you have the money of the Aseres HaShvatim, who were conquered and taken into Golos by Sanhedrin a few years earlier, was mixed in with it.
Was it
in the spoils, Pastor? So in that case, how can we take it all, how can we take it all for ourselves? Isn't there a problem of Gezel?
But
on the face of it, it is. If we should have to return the part that goes to them. Amalahem, so Yeshaya answers them with the continuation of the pasuk, Kimashak gave him Shoikik Boy. Like when water is sprinkled, like when water is going through a pipe from one place to another. That's the noise that's going to be over there. Meaning that what's the comparison between spoils and water flowing? Ma gave him alalu, just like gave him, which means that pits of water. Mal and it's odd mitumah l'tara. They take a person from tumah l'tara, a mikveh. Ah, mamonim shor Yisrael. So it is with money of Jewish people. Kiven shenofel beyad over to kachavim. Once it fell into the hands of goyim, miyad tihir. It right away became tahor. In other words, you don't have to worry that it's from the aseres hashvatim. Now, there is a discussion among Rishonim and Achronim, is the basis of this...
It's
Tohar, you're allowed to take it without having to worry who it came from. Now, why is that? There's two different ways of looking at it. One is it's a matter of Yish. Any Gezel, when a person has something stolen from him, if there's Yish and Shinu Yishus, that's enough that now you're not obligated to return it. Here, we can assume they were Miyayish, because how do they expect to get it back to Sanhedrin? There's Shinu Yishus, because the Navi is telling the Jewish people to take it. So that's it, then. In that case, then it's allowed. The other explanation is that it's a special din that applies to kibush milchama, which is what the next thing says over here in parenthesis. Kidra papa, the amar papa, amun and moyav, taru b'sichin. Just like we find, Rapapa says that the areas of amun and moyav that were conquered by sichin thereby became tahor, and the Jewish people are allowed to conquer them, even though they were not allowed to fight against amun and moyav. By the same logic, once Sanhedrin conquered the aseres hashvatim, automatically their money becomes his. Because he conquered them, that's it. The halachas of conquest are that it includes that now whatever the people that you conquered and their money now belongs to you. Therefore, now it's Sanhedrin, and therefore the Jewish people are now authorized to take it.
Belongs to
Sanhedrin,
a
goy. Why not? A goy has a sichon is also a goy, and his conquest of Ammon and Moab is considered valid in halacha. Because kibush, because it's a halacha. Yeah, it's al derech because they themselves are slaves to him. The point still remains. No, the point still remains that the conqueror now owns, yeah, one idea of it is that the conqueror now owns the bodies of people he conquered. They're now considered his slaves, so therefore, yeah, their mammon is also now his.
Even a goy.
Even a goy, conquering Jews, that's what we're saying. Yeah. Again, according to the other opinion, though, it's not that. It's rather a general matter of yush and shinu rishon. Yeah. Okay. Continuing on Sancheiriv, Amar Rav Huna, Eser Masois Nosa Oisa Rosha Ba'Oisa Ayoim. That Rosha, Sancheiriv, traveled 10 travels in one day, meaning there's a distance that normally it would have taken him and his army 10 days to cover. Instead, he hurried up and did it all in one day. Why he did that, we'll talk about soon, I'm Tzadik Hei. But meanwhile, first, let's see how we know that there were these 10. Shenema, the Pasuk describes, again in Yeshaya, pretty much all the Pesukim that describe about Sancheiriv are in Yeshaya, so therefore, yeah, because he lived at that time. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Bo al Ayos, he came upon Ayos, over the Migron, he passed through Migron. These are all names of places in Eretz Yisrael. The Michmosh Yafkid Caleb, and Michmosh he left behind some of his baggage. Over Marbara, they passed over Marbara. Geva Molin Lonu, in Geva they stayed over. Chordah Rama, Rama is trembling. Give us Shol Nasa, give us Shol, not the, give us Shol nowadays the name of a neighborhood in Yerushalayim. Here we mean the original give us Shol, which is north of Yerushalayim.
The only thing I recognize
is yeah, but give us the give us Shol that nowadays is the neighborhood of Yerushalayim. It's not the original give us Shol, it's a few miles north of Yerushalayim. This one is west of Yerushalayim, the modern day one. Anyway, give us Shol Nasa, give us Shol has ran away. The next pasuk continues. Sahali kolech bas galim, lift up your voice, bas galim. Hakshiva laisha, pay attention, laisha. Ania anosis, poor anosis. Or anosis is miserable. Nadada madmena has wandered. Yoshua gave him a izu. The people of Gavim have gathered together to run away. And the next pasuk continues. Oid hayyim benov lama. This is the first pasuk of Avtorah of Achon Pesach. Yet today he will stand in Noiv, Yenofif Yodeh Habas Tzion, he waves his hand like contemptuously against the mountain of Tzion, meaning the Beis Hamikdash, give us Yerushalayim, the hill of Yerushalayim. So that's the Masoi. So the question is, Hanituba Avion, you have a lot of places, you have like 15 place names mentioned in these Pesukim, what do you mean only 10? The answer is, some of them are not actually place names. Sali Kolach Bas Galim, when the Pasuk says in the middle over there, raise up your voice, Bas Galim, that is not a name of a place, Bas Galim, but rather Navi who dekamalol Knesset Yisrael. It's rather the Navi interjecting and telling the Jewish people, Sali Kolach Bas Galim, lift up your voice, meaning in happiness, in joy, that you're going to be saved from this. Bas Galim, the daughter of the waves, meaning Bitish, of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, she'also mitzvahs k'galei ayam. You're the daughter of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov, who did waves, who did mitzvahs as many as the waves of the sea. In their zchus, you'll be saved. The Jewish people collectively are called the daughter of Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakov.
Why
are connected with waves? So the very beginning of Eicha Rabbah, remember the Medrash on Eicha, discusses this pasuk also and mentions a few different things. First of all, waves are a very distinctive thing in the ocean. The same way what Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov were very distinctive in the world and in what they accomplished. Also, it explains over there, Galim is related to a Golim, that they went into Golos. Each one of the others went into Golos at some point in their lifetime. So that's the connection. The pasuk continues when it says Hakshivi Laisha, when it says pay attention Laisha, again, Laisha, we thought meant the name of a place, and therefore we have more than 10. Laisha is also not counted because it doesn't mean it's not a name of a place. It's rather the Navi continuing, may highlight Histophi, don't be afraid of this one, Sancheiriv. In the end, the Eivishter is going to destroy him. Ela Histophi Minuchanetza Harosha de Moso Ka'aye. Rather, the one to be afraid about is 100 years from now is Nebuchadnezzar, who's compared to a lion. Liish, the Gemara is going to say in a minute, is another word for a lion. Shenema, the pasuk says, Ola Aryeh Misubchei, the Gemara. The pasuk says, the lion has come up from his from his bushes, from his thicket. So therefore, and talking about Nebuchadnezzar. So
actually, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So Akshibi Liish means pay attention, be aware. There's yet going to be the Liish coming. Be careful about him. Which Marashal says, in other words, the vort is right now you still have the schus of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Therefore, the Sancheiriv will be destroyed. You'll be protected from him. However, by the time it comes to Mochanetza, by the time it comes to Churban, 100 years from now, the Zchus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov will have been used up. The Gemara discusses in Shabbos when exactly it was used up. Therefore, you're going to have to make sure that you have Torah and Mitzvot yourselves to rely on. They had the Zchus of learning Torah, but they still needed the Zchus of the Ovis as well. They also needed the Zchus of David. The Pasuk repeatedly mentions that over there. The Pasuk repeatedly mentions over there in Melachim and Yeshaya that the city was saved in the Zchus of David. Because eventually they did more Averis. They worshipped more of a desert. We'll talk later in the parak about Menashe and what he did. Yeah. Okay. So that my anianosis, in that case, what is the end of that pasuk anianosis, which we said the pashtus means poor anosis, miserable anosis. What does it mean? It means osid yumiya ben chilkiya misnabe alama anosis. It means yumiya ben chilkiya, the novi yumiya is going to come, who comes from the city of anosis, and he's going to speak up ania, not meloshin poor, but meloshin speaking out, like vayan vayomer. And he's going to give nevuah. He comes from Anosis. So therefore, that whole pasuk, so the three places mentioned in that pasuk are not places that Sancheira passed through. It's the Navi interjecting and informing the Jewish people, after all, you don't have too much to worry about Sancheira. The Eivishter will destroy him before he harms you. However, be aware that Nebuchadnezzar is yet coming and be on the lookout for him. But Anosis is the name of the city. Eretz Binyamin is the area of the country. Yeah, that's what it means. Yeah. But it's, so that's Ani Anosis of Yeshaya's pasuk is a remez about the future Novi Yumiya who comes from Anosis. So the question is, me dummy, what are you comparing? You said that Laisha means Nebuchadnezzar because it says Ola Arye, Hosam Arye Hochalayish. In one place it's called an Arye, in the other place it's called a Laish. It's not the same thing. The answer is Omer Rabbi Yechonon, Shisha Shemus Yeshla Ariya. Now, a lion actually has six names in the pasuk: Elohein, Ari, Kfir, Lavi, Laish, Shachal, and Shachat.
Ari and Kfir are two different things.
Yeah, that's the point. But they're all different words for a lion. Rashi says that elsewhere. It explains why Rashi says that elsewhere. There's an explanation in the Medrash why a lion has so many different names. Different Mefoshim talk about it. There's a Yalkut Shimoni that explains, for example, that a lion is called Kfir because, like, a person meets up with a lion, they're Kofir, they deny, forget it about it, I'm a goner. And Ari because they have Yira from it, etc. The Yalkut Shimoni explains over there, and the Mefoshim talk about different possibilities. Kfir maybe means a young lion, and Ari means an old one, and so forth. Yeah. Anyway, the point is that Akshiv Elisha, yes, refers to Nebuchadnezzar, who's compared to a lion. Okay. So the question is, Yochi Batu Lahu? Well, if that's the case, if you're taking out that pasuk, now you're below 10. If you count the number of places mentioned in these psukim over here, beginning from Baal, Ayas, Ovar, B'migran, etc., now you're down to only 9. The answer is Ovru Ma'abara Tauti Ninu. The words Ovru and Ma'abara are not, it's not Ovru, they crossed over Ma'abara, the name of the place Ma'abara, but rather it's two different places, Ovru and Ma'abara, and therefore you're back to 10. That's what we mean, that there was a distance of 10 journeys, we took a couple out, but now we put one back in, so now we're back to 10. So that's what we mean, that he had 10 journeys to make, that it should have taken him 10 days, and he covered it all in one day. Now, why did he do that? My Odayim B'Noiv Lamed. What does the pasuk mean when it continues that yet today he stands in Noiv? Amar Rav Huna, Oseayim Nishtayim Me'Avonah Shel Noiv. What it means is that day there was still left over a little bit of the Aveda of Noiv. Noiv is, one second, the Noiv is the famous story where Shaul had Doyeg, where Doyeg mastered on Noiv Yerakarinim, that they'd helped David when he's running away from Shaul, and Shaul ordered that the whole city be wiped out. So now, what? Doeg was the one who said Lashon Hara. He's the one who mastered, and he's the one that Shaul told him to kill, to wipe out the whole city. So now what happened is, this is now a few hundred years later, and still there's a remnant of that Avera left. So why Taka? Why Epis is there, and why is the Eivishter still holding it over, and why Dafka today? And why Dafka today is the last day? So the Mefarshim talk about a few different possibilities. One of them is the very fact that the Yidden allowed such a thing to happen and didn't protest. That, how can you kill out Noiv Yerakonim, shows they don't have enough of an affinity to the Beis Hamikdash, to Kedusha. So therefore, even now, when the Beis Hamikdash is being threatened, that means that it could still happen that the Beis Hamikdash Taka will be destroyed as a result of that old Aveda of showing a lack of... Yeah, this is, in the end, Sancheira was destroyed, but we're saying this is the last day. They were obligated to. We find in many places in Tanakh where a nation is held responsible for what its rulers do. It's the same way as the Mitzrayim were punished for even though Pare is the one refusing to send the Jewish people they could afford it. So I'm not a Mimar Gamachos. But no Yerakarinim, no. Shaul claimed they were. The truth is they weren't.
Because he said
they helped out David. They helped out David. They gave him bread. They gave him the Kohen Gadol. Gave him bread. Gave him. It was true. But Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, argued, I didn't know that David is on the run from you. As far as I knew, he's faithful to you. But Shaul bought the Lashon Hara from Doeg that he was doing it out of rebellion to Shaul. So it's both. Actually, the Gemara is going to say soon that David was also held responsible because the whole thing happened through him. We're going to talk about it later on our Amud. But Shaul was also held responsible. Doeg was also. And the Jewish people collectively were held responsible for allowing it to happen in the first place.
How can it be a collective punishment?
Because again, one explanation is the fact that they allowed it to happen shows that they should have. What do you mean? How do they prevent? They go and fight against Shaul until we find right over there that Amasa and we find over there. We talked earlier in the Masechta that Amasa and Avner were there and they argued to the king, "You're not allowed to do that." So the rest of the Jewish people should have done the same thing. Okay, anyway, that's one explanation. Then after the fact, they should have whatever. Another explanation the Aruch HaNer says is every year Erev Pesach, particularly this whole thing happened on Erev Pesach. Every year Erev Pesach, there was a special need for a large number of Koreanim because you had many people, you had everybody bringing a Korean Pesach, and it had to be done in the afternoon. So every year Erev Pesach, from then until now, there was always a shortage of Koreanim, and therefore every year, specifically on Erev Pesach, the Midas Adin would be Makatrig. Look at this, there would be a lot more Koreanim to bring the Korbanis if it hadn't been for Shaul wiping out the city of Noiv. So therefore, there's some of that Aveda left. So what happens? Amri Le Kaldoi, so Amri Le Kaldoi, so now Sancheirib's stargazers tell him, E Asla Ta'idna, if you go now to conquer Yerushalayim, Yachlasla, you'll be able to conquer it. V'yloi lo Yachlasla, if you don't get there today, you're not going to be able to. That is why, Urcha Deboi L'Segui Ba'asora Yoyma Soga B'chad Yoyma. That is why he hurried and did those 10 journeys all in one day. What happens? Kimotu Yerushalayim, when they reached Yerushalayim, Sancheirib had his soldiers pile up rugs or carpets or pillows or whatever underneath him to make a high spot. Abdesolik v'yosef milavei shura, so that he was able to sit at a point higher than the wall of Yerushalayim. Adchazul l'kol Yerushalayim. So this way he can look over the wall and see the entire Yerushalayim spread out in front of him. When he saw it, it looked small in his eyes. It looked very unimportant. Yerushalayim is not a very big city physically. Omar, so he says, "Haloi dohi kauted Yerushalayim. What is this? This is the city of Yerushalayim. Da'alo agdishis kol mashirsi. That I moved my whole army. I bothered my whole army to come over here. Da'alo kapshis kol medinsa. And because of that, to come here, I've conquered all the other countries on the way. Haloi ze'era b'chalshem. He called krache amamayu to kapshis b'skoif yodi. It's smaller and weaker than all the other cities of the various other nations that I conquered, requiring tremendous power. The city is nothing."
Didn't we say the other day that Sancheirib was staying in
Ashur, didn't come to you? No. Sancheirib himself didn't originally. Originally he sent Rabshakeh, but now, after he's finished his other conquest, he personally came to Yerushalayim to oversee the conquest. Yeah. Olav komu menid bereshe. So he got up and stood up and was like shaking his head in derision, like Oichmer city, like moivul maisi biyode al tur beis makdashot betzion, and he's waving his hand back and forth, also like contemptuously against the city, against the harabayis that's in Tzion, and balazar to the Yerushalayim, and on the Azores in Yerushalayim. These last couple of lines over here are all taken from the Targum, from Targum Yonasan, on that pasuk when it says in the pasuk oda yem benoiv lamed yenoifis yode harabasi, and he's waving his hand against harabasi and giving Yerushalayim. So the Targum adds all this detail. Why is he waving his hand contemptuously? Because he's sitting up there on his pile of pillows and saying, "What kind of this is Uchmer city? This I came the whole way with my entire giant army to conquer." Amri, so his soldiers tell him, "Good, now that we're here, Nishte Beyodah Ha'idna. Good, let's put our hands against it now. Let's go conquer it now." Amalahu, he says to them, "Tamhisu." That's his two explanations of Tamhisu. One is, "I'm surprised at you. How do you think to begin a war, to begin a battle today after you're all tired from what should have been a 10-day march?" The other explanation is Tamhisu just in itself means you must be tired. So either it's... No, not drop dead. No. Why would you say that to your soldiers? No. Tamhisu either means I'm surprised how you could think that, or it means you guys must be tired. Either way, the point is let's wait till tomorrow. Miloshin Tomea, wonder. Or it can be, it actually says Meloshin tired. It's Meloshin of a thing that you find elsewhere, tired. Okay. Lamacha, Tomo, he says, yeah, Itzma Lamesev. He was tired and he sat down. Lamacha, so Sancheirib says, never mind today. Tomorrow, Aitzili kochad michad minay gumay horag minay. Tomorrow, I want each of the soldiers to bring me a piece of the wall. In other words, we have enough soldiers over here. All we need is each of you will take one stone out of the wall, and before you know it, the whole thing will be gone. Rashi says that gumu harag means a piece of a means like a weak piece of the wall. The Aruch brings a different explanation. Gumay Harag means a piece the size of a signet ring. Like each of you will just stick your signet ring against the wall, take off a little plaster from it, and we have enough soldiers over here that the whole wall will be gone. You put your thing against it, and you pull off a little bit of plaster with your ring, and then by the time you have millions of soldiers. No, but it had plaster on the stones, and then you say, then fine, then you take off a little piece. Yeah, everybody rubs off a little piece with their ring. Like, I'm always going to say, I'm in base, it was a huge number of soldiers. What happened? Miyad. That's 185. The Gemara is going to say, I'm in base, those were just the generals. Just the generals. Wait, yeah. Miyad, immediately that night, by Hiba Lailahu, at that night, by Yetzir Malach Hashem, the Malach of Hashem came out, by Yach, the Machne Asher, Meir, Shmoyne, Machamishim, Olaf, he struck down and killed in the camp of Asher 185,000, by Ashkimu Baboker, the remaining soldiers woke up in the morning, Vihine Kulam, go to Mesim, and they're all dead. So that was the end of it. So that Sancheirav figured we can conquer tomorrow, and tomorrow never came for most of them. No, Sancheirav survived.
Tomorrow he was conquered.
Right, but the point is, for most of these soldiers, tomorrow never came. Omer Papa, Hainu Damri Inshi, this is like the expression people say, bus dina, bottle dina. When the din is left overnight, then the din is bottle. In other words, like this, kiven shalon dina bottle arib, Rashi says. Once the din is left overnight, then the whole argument like goes away. So the same way, like his soldiers were correct. Well, his astrologers were correct. He would have had that day, Erev Pesach, would have been the day to conquer. Like this, he missed his opportunity.
Well, that's because of Shaul.
Yeah. So now we're going to go off the topic of Sancheirav and Chizkiyahu. We're going to get back to them on Amadeus. But meanwhile, we talked about Noiv, and so now the Gemara is going to discuss another consequence of that whole story of Noiv Irakein, namely the consequence that involved David. The Pasuk says like this. Near the end of Shmuel Beis, the Pasuk describes like this. The Yishbi Benoiv, the simple meaning is Yishbi Benoiv was his name, but the Gemara darshens that Benoiv means that he was coming because of Noiv. Especially, Marashah points out, it mentions over there four giants that David and his army fought against and killed, that David and his soldiers fought against and killed. There was Goliath, there was this Yishvi, and there were two others. Most of them, the Pasuk says that it happened in Goyiv. Here, all of a sudden, it's Benoiv. So why?
Right.
Yeah. Ashebi Yelidei HaRofa, he was one of the ones that was born to the giant. Umishko Keno Shloshmeis Mishko Mechoshes, the weight of the handle of a spear, Keno actually, it actually says means like a little container on that's on the end of the handle or whatever. Just that piece alone weighed 300 weights of copper, very heavy in other words, because he was a giant. By Vahu Chogu Chadoshe, he's wearing a new suit of armor.
Goliath.
No, not Goliath, this is Yishvi. By Yomer Lahakis is David, and he decided that he's going to kill David. Rashi explains on the Pasuk over there, it was common in those days. A soldier puts on a suit of armor for the first time. He wants to do something brave to make himself a name in the army. So he decided his act of bravery is going to be that he's going to get David. So what happened? How does David come into this situation? So first of all, Maiv Yishbi Binoiv. Why is he called Yishbi in Noiv? Amrav, Yehuda Amrav, Ish Shabbat al Iske Noiv. He's a man who came because of the affair in Noiv. Meaning like this, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu David. The Eibishter says to David, look at this. Ad Moseh Yeh Oven Zeh Tomen V'Yodcha. How long is this Aveda, the result of this Aveda, going to be hidden in your hand? In other words, something has to be done about it. Al Yodcha Neherod Noiv Irakoyanim, because of you, Noiv Irakoyanim was killed. Al Yodcha Nitra Deig Adomi, because of you, Deig Adomi was pushed away and lost his place in Olam Haba eventually. As we'll say later in the parak, because of the Savera, Shol and his three sons were killed. Now, you have to ask the question, when David originally came to Noiv, he was starving. What do you mean we're blaming on him the fact that all of this happened? What else was he supposed to do? What he did is he came to Achimelech, he pretended that he didn't tell Achimelech, I'm on the run from Shol. Achimelech was the Kohen Gadol. He didn't tell him I'm on the run from Shol. He tells the whole story that I'm on a secret mission from the king, and I didn't have a chance to bring along food, so now please give me some food, and please give me a sword. And Achimelech bought the story and gave him that. And then, now Doeg was present at that time, and therefore later on Doeg comes to tell Shol that Achimelech is secretly conspiring with David. So in Sefer Chassidim, it gives the answer that actually, yes, David should have been willing to go on Mesiras Nefesh to even die from hunger if necessary, because otherwise there's danger over here. Doeg is over there. Yes, if that means that he's not going to be able to ask Achimelech for food because Doeg is there, then yes, that's what it means.
So wait a minute, it's not only about Doeg, it's about the using the king to Achimelech.
Obviously, Doeg was a Russia, and he deserved his punishment. But the Eibishter is saying to David, after all, you bear a certain share of blame for this. If you hadn't said to Achimelech, if you had told Achimelech the truth, you're on the run from Shaul, he wouldn't have given you anything. Mm-hmm. You would have died of hunger. Okay, you would have died of hunger, but at least you wouldn't have had this whole situation. Eibishter would have made him a mess or whatever. Yeah. He knew Doeg was there. Actually, so some of the Mefarshim point out, the Pasuk later on, after we're going to say on other days, that only one of Achimelech's sons survived and ran away to David. His name was Abiathar. He became the next Kohen Gadol. David actually says to him, it is my fault. I knew Doeg was there. I should have been more careful. So therefore, David himself, therefore, realized that he bears a certain
fault. And
he knew already that Doeg had against him. We said the other day Doeg said Lashon Hara against him.
Why did he?
Because he figured his life is in danger. With all, I will say, by the way, there is an interesting thing that's first brought by the Mahariv Vial, one of the late Rishonim, and it's brought in a number of other Sifra Halacha after him. That, for example, if you have a person, let's say, sends somebody on a mission to do something for him, and that person ends up getting killed on the way, the person who sent him has to do tshuva for it. They need a certain kapara for it because a yid got killed through them. That's based on our Gemara over here. The Magen Avraham actually brings it in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that, for example, during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, a person is doing teshuva for especially more than it does during the year. This would be an example of it. Okay, there are some of the Achronim talk about maybe it's different if you hired the guy, whatever, the Tzemach Tzedek Akadmai, not the Tzemach Tzedek of Lubavitch, but in the earlier Tzemach Tzedek, the earlier post of Tzemach Tzedek, who lived in the time of the Shach and the Taz, discusses maybe not if you hired the guy, maybe it's different. But whatever, anyway, the bottom line is, yes, through David this happened, therefore he needs a certain kapara. So because of him, the whole Novi Achronim was wiped out. And because of him, Doeg ended up in trouble, and Shaul and his sons, and yeah. So the Eivishter says to him, "Ritzoncha yichlu zaracha." So what do you want as a punishment? That your children should be wiped out, like the way Nevi Akonim was wiped out? Says to David, "Oitimosibiyadoyev." Do you want that you personally should be given over into the hands of an enemy? Amalafanov. So David says, "Rebbeinu Shalom, mutra mosibiyadoyev." Of course, better I should be given into the hands of an enemy. V'lo yichlu zari, not that my descendants shouldn't be wiped out. So now this is where Yishvi Benoyev comes in. Yom Achad Nofach Lishkor Bazoi. Right on the map is a little bit north of Yerushalayim, a little bit north and west of Yerushalayim. No. It's a few miles. I don't know. I mean, it's probably maybe 10 miles, maybe 10 or 15 miles from Shiloh. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, Yom Echad Nofach Lishkor Bazoi. One day David went out to Lishkor Bazoi. There's a few different explanations. Rashi says one explanation, he says Krita, although Rashi doesn't explain what that is. The other is Lishkor Bazoi is the name of a village. The Aruch says it means he went out to hunt with a net. Lishkor Bazoi, he explains, Lishkor means Sachar means a net, and Bazoi means birds. So he went with a net to catch birds. Okay. Also, Satan v'idme leketavya. The Satan came and appeared to David like a deer. So David started chasing it. Pasuk ve'dira, he shot an arrow at it to try and shecht it. V'lo'imati, and he did, the arrow didn't reach it. Mashches, and now the deer is running, and David is running after it. Ad da'amti ala eretz plishtim, until David reached the land of the plishtim. Kidchazia yishbi b'noiv, now when this giant yishbi b'noiv saw David, Omar, he says, hainu haide kaple l'goyas ochi. Oh, look at this, this is the guy who killed Goliath, my brother. Now I have my chance at him. That's Yishvi was his name, in other words. Benoiv means because of Noiv, yeah.
He came into the whole story
because the Eibishter put David in this situation, but he also had his own personal reasons against David, because David had killed Goliath, yeah. So there were actually four brothers, the Pesukim mentioned over there. There were four brothers who all ended up being killed by David or his men. They were all four brothers. They were all actually, the Pasuk calls them Yelidei Harafa, we said before. Harafa is actually Orpah. We know from Megillas Rus, he had Navi's two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Rus. Orpah ended up leaving and going back to Eretz Moav and remaining a goyter. And we learned in Sotah that she was Mizana that night with 100 men and became pregnant from one of them with these four giants. And the other one was Rus, who became the ancestor of David HaMelech. Okay. Yeah, so he sees him. Kafte, he tied David up. Kamte, he folded him up. He pressed him under. What? He said they were distant cousins. And Yishvi and David. They're one descended from Orpah, the other descended from Ruth. Okay. Kamte, he.
I didn't see it this way.
Yeah, okay. Okay. No, fine. Okay. Kapsa, he tied him up. Kamte, he put him under the beam of an olive press. Oisve v'shadya tuse bebadya, and that's what he did. He threw him under the beam of an olive press so that he could crush him underneath it. Now the Yad Ramah says, why didn't you just kill him straight out? And he says, because like he wanted to play around with him, like he wanted to have his fun with him first. If Abed Nisa, a nest happened to David, Mochalei Adam Mitusei, the ground softened or weakened underneath him. Rashi said two explanations. One is it softened, the other is like it became concave, like a hole in the ground. Either way, that protected him so he didn't get crushed. Heinu Dichtiv, thus the Pasuk says, Tarchit Tzadi Tachtoi V'lei Moadu Karsulei, thus the Pasuk says, you make my steps wide below, meaning like the place where I'm stepping, the place where I'm on the ground, so that my feet didn't stumble. And it was David is thanking the Eishter for saving him from this situation. Then Yahyada says, by the way, now, we said that David should be given over into the hands of his enemies. So Taka, why did the Eivishter not allow him? Why did the Eivishter make this mess? He says, because if he had been killed that way, that would be similar to Chenek. He'd be, like, suffocated under there. Chenek is a punishment for being Mazana with an Eishes Ish, as we learned before. If that happened, people would think that it happened because Bathsheba, Taka, was an Eishes Ish, and David was Taka Chayiv Nisa for her. To protect that, because that wasn't true. She wasn't an Eishes Ish at that point. The Eivishter saved him from this. Next, now this day was late on Erev Shabbos afternoon. Avishai ben Tzruya, who was one of David's top men in his army, was one of his nephews. He was also a brother of Yoyo, who was the general of the army. Yeah, he was David's nephew. Yeah, Tzruya was one of David's sisters. He was washing his hair, the covered Shabbos, with 4 saw of water. Or Rashi says another explanation, 4 jugs full of water. Anyway, all of a sudden he started seeing drops of blood in the water. It's obviously a simon, something's wrong. Ikadamri, another version that he saw wrong, he saw a dove came and was like beating itself around and like tearing out its feathers and knocking itself against the walls and whatever and moaning. Something is wrong. Omar, he thought to himself, Knesset Yisrael Yona Imsula, we know that the Jewish people are compared to a dove. Dichtiv Shenema, as the apostle says, Kanfe Yona Nechba Bakesef, the wings of the dove that are covered with silver, which is talking about the Jewish people who accepted the Torah. So therefore, Shmamina David Malchut Yisrael, the Tzaira Shari, it must mean that David Malchut Yisrael, who represents the whole Jewish people, was in trouble. He knew the Jewish people collectively are not in trouble. If they were, he would have heard about it. But it must be David is somehow in trouble. Also, so he went to David's house, to his palace, and he didn't find him there. Omar, so now he thought to himself like this. Okay, so now I need to ride and find out where he went. What am I going to ride on? Tnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Ulyar and Armasekhta, Ein Reuchvin al Susa, you're not allowed to ride on the king's horse, Vein Yoshvin al Kisa, you're not allowed to sit on his throne, Vein Mishtamshin b'Shagrita, you're not allowed to use a scepter, or any personal effects of his. The question is, B'Shachas HaKonamai, what about in a time of danger are you allowed to? Also, Shol ben Medrash, he went and asked in this Medrash, Omrulay, B'Shachas HaKonamai, Shapu Dome, they told him if it's a time of Sakona, then it's allowed. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein has an interesting tshuva to one of his sons, where what's the shaila? I mean, it's a case, the kuach nefesh, you're going and asking about this. Oh, yeah. And he answers, because the question wasn't whether you're allowed to do it. The question is, Avishai knew he's going to need a nest to save David. The question is it that you're not allowed to do it, but in a case of sakonas nefashis, it's dechuya, it's pushed aside, or is it hutra, it's completely mutter? If it's only dechuya, that wouldn't be. It wouldn't be appropriate that a nest should happen through something that in it of itself is also, and it's only being suspended because of the korach nefesh. Mashenkin, if it's hutra, if it's completely mutter in such a case, then it's worthy that a nest should happen through it. And that was the answer. It's something that's completely mutter under such circumstances, and therefore, yes, it's worthy that a nest should happen through it.
Maybe also
that he needs to be a shleicha based, then could be okay. Rachli lepirde, so he rode on David's own mule. So the question is, why you have to use dafka that mule? There's no other animal available. So they give different answers. One of them is, well, you could use some other animal. There's no lack of animals. Yeah, you could use somebody else's horse or whatever. Why does he have to use dafka David's mule? So they give a few different answers. One balabatish answer is that the mule would know which way David went. Like this, how is he going to know? He has no idea which way David went. Like this, the mule will follow its master. Okay. Become v'ozum. That's because he didn't. He went on some other animal. I don't know. Okay. Become v'ozum, and he got up and went. And he had kfitzes aderech so that he could get there faster. Bahadi de Komaski, as he's going along to save David, Chazila Orpa Ime, he met up with Orpa, Yishvi's mother. We just said before that Orpa was the mother of these 4 giants. Davis Navla, she was sitting and spinning threads. Pichazise, when she saw him, Sakta Lapilcha, she broke off the thread that she was busy spinning. Shadase Ilave, and she threw the spinning thing at him, intending to kill him with it. It's a long sharp thing. It's a very good weapon. So she intended to kill him with it. But she missed. And so having missed, she pretended she didn't deliberately throw it at him. Sorry, I accidentally dropped it. Amrale, she says to him, Elam, young man, I see the pelech, bring me my spinning tool. A pelech, in English it's called, what is it called in English? I forget the word for it. A spindle, that's what it's called, a spindle. Yeah. So give me my spindle. Paske b'resh moicha, he in turn threw it at her head, the kapla, and killed her. Then he goes on. So now when Yishbi B'noiv sees Avishai coming, now there's going to be another guy, now I'm in trouble, now there's going to be two of them against me, I better get rid of David quickly. Omar. Yeah, but no, not necessarily big, but still two against one, yeah. Omar, Yishbi thought to himself, hash to have a bait train, now there's two of them, David and Avishai, Vakatlini, they're going to be able to overcome me, maybe, and kill me. So he threw David up in the air, and he stuck his spear into the ground underneath him. Omar, because he figured, David will fall on it and get killed. One interesting thing that's brought from Meshulam, one of the sons of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, writes in one of his Truvas, first he tried to kill him under the olive press, now he's throwing him in the air, what's going on? The vote is, when he saw that he didn't get killed under the olive press, he thought maybe David has the power of Kishus. We learned earlier in the Masechta, Mechashef has to be in contact with the ground for their Kishuf to work. Therefore, now he threw him up into the air, so that is a Kishuf, it's a Kishuf, it won't be effective.
It's not a place on the head. He's a potter, it's not his chaos.
Yeah, okay. I guess, I don't know. Okay. Omer Avishai Shem. So at this point, Avishai says the name of the Eibishter. Oitmele David ben Shmaya La'ara. And he caused David to stay suspended there in the air and not fall onto the sword.
Avishai.
So the question is, Vinei Malayihu. Yeah, apparently he had. The question is, Vinei Malayihu. Why didn't David himself say the name of the Eibishter to save himself? The answer is, Ein Chovash Matar Atzim Reis Asurim. A prisoner can't get himself out of jail. Meaning, Rashi says, he doesn't have the presence of mind to be able to concentrate and say the name of the Eibishter. Whereas Avishai did. The Eibishter told him he's going to be given over into the hands of his enemy. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be killed, but whatever the case, the point is, he didn't have the presence of mind, Rashi says, to be able to be able to focus and be able to say the name of the Eibishter with the proper kavana. Avishai did. There's a different explanation that some of the other Mephoshim say, that since the Midas Adin is now on David, then he doesn't have the ability to undo that Midas Adin. Whereas Avishai was not involved in the Xera, yeah. Okay. This is also true, yeah. Omalei, yeah, Avishai says, my boy, Sacha, what are you doing here? What happened? Omalei, hochi, omalei, kutchabrichu. So David tells him the whole story. This is what the Avishai told me. Vahochi ahadrile, and this is what I replied to him, that I'd rather get in trouble myself rather than my descendants. Omalei, so Avishai tells him, apich tfloisich, reverse your tefillah. Ask the Eibishter to do it the other way around. Let your children get it, not you. As the expression goes, bar broch kiro lizbun, let your grandson have to sell wax, which is a very low-class thing, but act like it's tzar, not that you yourself should have tzar. Well, one idea is because then eventually when it comes to them, they can daven for rachamim for the Eibishter for themselves. You, at least, in a, it's sort of like we said before, bus dinner, bottle dinner. Once the din is left overnight, then it's canceled, so if it has to be left over for a future generation, it won't necessarily be as strong. Amalei, so David says, fine, ihochi sayabadon. In that case, assist me with it. The two of us together, we need our two chosim together. What? No. David says, Amalei, ihochi. Yeah, if so, you help me, daven to the Eibishter, that the punishment should be taken off from me and given to my descendants. Thus the pasuk says, "Vayazolei Avishai ben Tzruya." Thus the pasuk continues, "Avishai ben Tzruya helped him." How did he help him? Amar Yehuda Amar Avshah Ozir b'Tfila. I mean, he helped him with Tfila. So now Amar, so Avishai helped David. Avishai helped David. What?
Who asked
Sayabadon? Who says Sayabadon? David says to Avishai, "Help me out with this." Yeah, and Avishai David is together with him, and that's it. Now, Omer Avishai shame v'achse. Now Avishai said another shame of Hashem and brought David back down to earth. Havakar Rodish Basrayhu. So now they're running away, and Yishbi is running after them, chase after them, and get both of them. Shame. He said a name, Hashem v'achse, and he brought him down, back down to earth. So now David and Avishai are running away, and Yishbi, the giant, is running after them. Kimote Kubi, when they came to a place which was called Kubi, Amri Kumbe, they said to each other, let's stand up against him. And that's why the place was called Kubi. The Chachamim knew, the Kabbalah, that the place was called Kubi because these two said to each other, Kumbe, come, let's make a stand against him over here. But they didn't manage to. Kimote Beitre, they came to another place called Beitre. Amri, Beitre, Guri, and Katlu Alaria. What is this? Two little cubs are going to kill the big lion. How are we going to manage this? How are we going to be able to kill him? Amri Lay, so now they realized what to do. They said to him, Zil Ish, they, Avishai and David, said to Yishbe, they realized they're not going to be able to defeat him in the usual way, but they said to him, Zil Ishtakach La'Orpa Imech Bekivra, go find, you'll find that your mother Orpa is in the grave, that she's dead now. Ki Adgulish Shmodi Imeh, when they mentioned his mother's name, Kochash Chele, that weakened his power, now he felt bad, Makatle, and then they were able to kill him. The pastor says that they mentioned him that she's dead. Marsha says also the vote is, we say in Sota over there in that whole discussion about Orpah and Rus, that she was called Orpah because Shener from Acharel, like she was Mizana with these men even in an unnatural way, like face to back or whatever. So when they mentioned the name Orpah, was as much as to say, look at what a Zona, look at what a Rishaf, your mother was, and that's that weakened him. Thus the pasuk continues over there in Shmuel. Oz nishbu anshe David loy. At that point, David's men swore to him. They said, "Loy seitz oiditana b'mochama. You should no longer go out with us to war. V'loy sichbas ner Yisrael. You shouldn't extinguish the light of the Jewish people. Meaning, it's too dangerous for you to ever go to war again after this incident."
We don't know if the tshuva of Avishai was accepted.
Well, it was. We said that it was accepted. We're gonna, if it's saved, then we're going to see. I'm on the base.
Why did they say it's too dangerous for you to go?
Because now, maybe the rest of them didn't know the whole story. They didn't know the whole story, but fine. Maybe David won't be killed, but he could still be captured. Who knows? Whatever. Turn it up on him. Shloisha kaf talayma aretz. There were three people in Tanakh that the earth contracted for them. Eliezer Eved Avram, the Yaakov Avinu, v'Avishai ben Tzruya. Avishai ben Tzruya hodamar. We just said he had six zaderach when he was on his way to save David. Eliezer Eved Avram, we know because the pasuk says, "Va'over ha'yom la'ayin." He says, "I came today to the well," and there he met Rivka, implying, as it actually says on the pasuk, "Over there ha'yom la'tzasi, ha'yom basi." I left today, and I came the same day. Fitzadeh. Remember, Dahu Yom Nafak, implying that he left that same day. Yaakov Avinu. Where do we see that Yaakov Avinu had Fitzadeh? Also a famous thing. Vayetze Yaakov Beersheva Vayelech Charana. That Yaakov left Beersheva and went to Charan, which implies he came all the way to Charan. Uchtiv, but the next passage continues. Vayifka b'makom vayolin sham kivah shemesh. Then it says he came to the place, meaning the site of the Beis Hamikdash, and he stayed overnight there because the sun went down. So what happens? How did he get from Charan and then all of a sudden he's back in the? And he left Beersheva. He's going north to Charan, and all of a sudden he's back in Yerushalayim, which is in the middle. What's going on? What happens was like this. He went all the way to Charan, which may have taken him a normal amount of time, whatever it usually takes, a couple of weeks. When he reached Charan, Omar, he thinks to himself, how is it possible I passed by the place where my ancestors, Avraham and Yitzchak, daven, and I didn't daven over there? I have to go back. He realized that he'd passed by the site of what's going to be the site of the Beis Mikdash. Avraham had davened there by the Akedah. Yitzchak had davened there before he met Rivka.
Once he was in Charan,
he chafed it, but he hadn't, yeah. Boy Lameder, so he decided to return. Kivin Dehira B'dayt Lameder, once he decided to return, Kof Tzalei Ari at Kfitzis Aderech, Miyad Vayifka B'mokim, and right away he came and was able to daven in the place. Actually, it's interesting. Rashi on the Pasuk explains that the Kfitzis Aderech was rather something else, that the site of the Beis Mikdash moved towards him. Because Rashi has a whole explanation over there about how the ladder, the feet of it were in Beersheva, and the middle of it was in Yerushalayim, and the top of it was in Luz, etc. The Ramban on the Pasuk disagrees and says, based on our Gemara over here, no, it means regular Kfitzis Aderech, just like with the other two. He managed to get from Charan back to the site of the Beis Mikdash in a very short time. So another explanation. What does Vayifka mean? The word Pegia means davening. The Eibishter says to Yirmiyahu, there's going to be a churban, there's going to be a golus. You don't bother davening for this people. Don't lift up a song and a tefillah for me, to me. And don't tifka me, because I'm not going to take away the gzera unless they do tshuva. So we see that the word poga means to daven.
In a negative way.
No, but it means to daven. Rashi actually says he's not goatus this whole line over here because it's not really relevant to our Gemara over here. It's relevant in Chulin where the Gemara discusses, and in Brachas where the Gemara discusses this whole story. Here it's just Derech Agav.
But Yivka
B'makom means he davened in the place. The simple meaning is that he came to the place.
some sort of sakana or something.
No, what's sakana? He davened over there because he established tefillah out of it. Then it says, it literally means he touched or encountered or whatever the place, but Rashi on the Pasuk, based on our Gemara, says that it means he davened over there. Next, Vayolam Shom Kivah Shemesh, then the Pasuk continues, he stayed overnight there because the sun came down. What happened? Basad Atzoli Boilam Eder, after he davened, he wanted to continue on his way to Choron. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadik Zeh Bola Beis Maloni, what is this? This Tzadik came to my dwelling place, he should leave without staying overnight. We know in later times also, a person brings a korban, the jinn is they have to stay in Yerushalayim overnight and only leave the next morning. So that you can absorb more kedusha from the place with pashtus, so also so it shows, like you're not just, I brought the korban, good, let me get out of here. No, you have to show that you're, therefore immediately the sun came down. In other words, not Rashi says if it said Vayovay Hashemesh, it would just mean the normal thing happened. The sun came down, so he went to, like this, Vayolon Shom Kivo Hashemesh implies that there's a special reason that the sun came down in order that he should be able to sleep over there.
Earlier
than usual. He did daven Meir. So you daven Meir before Tzeis. You're allowed to do that.
Behind the
Dichtiv, by Yizrach Lo Yashemesh, and thus we find later on in Parshas VaYishlach, after he fought with Esav Malach, it says over there the sun rose for him. Now what do you mean? It didn't rise only for him. The sun rises for everybody. It means like this: the sun that set earlier for him by Hara Maria now rose early for him in order to heal him from his limp. So therefore, we see it set early for him when he was by Hara Maria. That's what we said. Okay, he thought Ayom Gadol. He thought Ayom Gadol. Yeah, he davened. He davened before Shkia. You're allowed to daven any time from Plag HaMincha. Fine, he's allowed to daven any time from Plag HaMincha and R. Okay. Umanolan. Fine, let's continue. Umanolan dekola zare de David. So we said that David asked for the punishment to be reversed. Instead of it being on him, it should be on his children. So where do we tack to find that David's descendants were wiped out? Just give, because you have a few generations later. Asalya, the mother of Ahaziyahu, who was a king of Yehuda, who had been assassinated, she saw that her son was dead. And she got up and wiped out all the descendants of the kingship, meaning all the descendants of David.
Right.
Because she wanted to be queen. She wanted to take over herself. So the question is, she was a Rishas. She was actually the daughter or the sister of Ahav, but she was married to the king of Yehuda, and the king of Yehuda, Yehoram. And Ahaziah, the next king, was her son. So now Yehoram was dead. Ahaziah was assassinated. So now she decided to take power for herself. So the question is, there was one left over. David's descendants were not completely wiped out. He had a son. There was one child of Ahaziah left named Yoyash, who was hidden in the attic of the Beis Mikdash, and 6 years later they brought him out and made him king. So you see, so it's not
he
a
was hiding because
she wanted to kill him. He was a 1-year-old baby at that point. His aunt, who was the wife of the Kohen Gadol, hid him in the attic of the Beis Mikdash, in the attic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for the next 6 years. And then when he was 7 years old, they brought him out and they made a coup and overthrew and killed Asalya and installed Yoyash as the new king. The beginning of the end of the story is the beginning of that part of Parshas Shkalim. So the question is, so in that case, it's not the same thing. Noiv was completely wiped out. Here you have one descendant left. The answer is Hasam Nami, Shtayer of Yosef. In that case, by Noiv there was also one left, one son of Achimelech left, named of Yosef. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayimolet ben Echad l'Achimelech ben Achitu, Ushmoy of Yosef. So therefore it is exactly the same. And in fact, Amr of Yehuda Amr Rab, Ilmolet ben Shtayer of Yosef, Achimelech ben Achitu, had of Yosef not been left over as the one survivor from Achimelech ben Achitu's family, if not for that, ben Shtayer, Bizarre Shal David, Sardar Dipolit, there wouldn't have been left over a remnant, Bechal, of David's children either. But like this, because there was the one left over, therefore the Eivishter allowed that one of David's descendants also survived. The Medrash, by the way, we're not going to have time to start the next thing now, so we may as well tell a Medrash in this connection. The Medrash points out that you have the two kapitlach and tilim that begin lam natseach ala shmini. The Rashi actually mentions it on a pasuk. What's shminis? Yoyash was the eighth generation descendant from David. So David is davening Lamaseh Halashminis for the eighth generation. Hoshia Hashem ki gama chosid. Hashem save us. There's no, there's no, the chosid, meaning David himself, his descendants are all gone. at least save the one remainder, Yoyash, that the Malchus Beis David should be able to continue through Hashem. And Hashem did, because we see that Yoyash survived.
But afterwards, I mean...
So then Rashi explains also elsewhere that there's another Lam Natsayach HaLashminis, there's two Kapit Lach Lam Natsayach HaLashminis, Kapit Lvav and Kapit Yud Beis. The other one refers to eight generations after Yoyash, brings us to Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was killed in battle. Oh, all of his sons who became kings after him, the last four kings of Yehuda, were all, each of them was taken captive or killed or lived out their life in jail in unnatural ways. So again, David is davening that there should be some remnant left of them that should lead, that eventually there'll be Mashiach, and eventually there'll be Malchus Beis David will be reestablished. So that's the two Alashminises, one for eight generations after David, and the other for eight generations after that, which brings us to Yoshiyahu.
And that
was fulfilled because Yoyash survived and the kingship of Yehuda continued. And Yoshiyahu, fine, he and his children were all killed in the various ways, but they still had descendants. We said earlier in the Masechta that Yehoyachin, who was the grandson of Yoshiyahu, who was one of the kings after him, his descendant is Zerubbabel, who led the Jewish people at the beginning of the second Mishnah, and eventually his descendant was Mashiach. So that's the two Lam Natsayach HaLashminisin refer to that. So the eighth generation and then the eighth generation after that. So it was fulfilled. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right, Yaakov. Hopefully you managed to hear most, if not all, of that.
All right.